How long shall we stand in a situation that rests on one support? Within our brotherhood, there are a number of Hasidim who could be men of quite some stature. That is, they could well be the kinds of people that Hasidus would like them to be. The only trouble is that they satisfy themselves with a level of Avodah which belongs to the order of Makif. In other words, their spiritual endeavors encompass them as if from a sphere outside themselves, rather than being internalized. In other words, brought it to the level of Pnimius through the systematic and intellectual regulation of their Avodah. They do not have a work plan for their Avodah involving self-cultivation on the level of Pnimius and proceeding by gradated stages. Instead, everything is done on the level of Makif as if sporadically. When Rosh Chodesh Elul comes, such people are aroused in a positive manner. They take stock of how the year has passed, sum up their accounts, and in conclusion make practical resolutions. Arriving at this balance sheet gives rise to the heartache and anguish over their spiritual status. One senses how poor and naked he is. One knows that he is a year older, but in what has the year passed? One feels pain thinking about what will finally come of such a chaotic life, a life of tayu, a life which is constantly thinking about tomorrow. And because of this, every day loses its today. In this way, one forgets to think in terms of Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim, blessed be God day by day, being preoccupied instead with what will be tomorrow. But Elul is a month of mercy, when the 13 attributes of mercy shine forth, and it is a propitious time. The spiritual stocktaking therefore brings about an intense longing for the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, which characterizes Rosh Hashanah. The individual makes a firm resolve that in future things will be completely different. And indeed, when Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come around, he is in quite a fine state. His time is carefully invested, and he is never idle. So when Sukkot and Simchas Torah comes, he is in a decidedly joyful frame of mind. Things aren't too bad at all. There is only one thing wrong. Everything is in a manner of makif. He has indeed experienced a ispailus, an emotional arousal and the awe of heaven, a ispailus of tshuva, a ispailus of joy. But it is all in a manner of makif. That which is makif may be observed in either of two ways, coming from either the loftiest heights or the nethermost depths. Light and power, which are makif, are more intense than their counterparts, which are pnimi. As discussed in Chassidus, makif and pnimi correspond to Soivev and Memale. That which is Memale is an Arpnimi. The kind of light which is Arpnimi is present according to the measure of the recipient vessel and as it were fills it. When light and vessel unite, the vessel becomes refined to such a degree that it is possible for the vessel itself to become light. As stated above, the light and power of Makif are more intense than light and power which are pnimi. They cannot be bound by a vessel, but they can give life force to the light which is pnimi. When they unite with the pnimi, the latter increases greatly in strength. Intellect is light which is pnimi. Will and pleasure are lights which are makif. The intellect is limited to the vessel of the brain. Will and pleasure, however, cannot be delimited to a vessel, for they are encompassing lights. They illuminate the intellect and the midas and practical activity as well. But wherever they may be, by their very presence they give life force to the arpnimi of the faculty in which they are to be found. And this faculty becomes animated with greater vigor than it would have had alone. This may be observed from tangible experience. One cannot compare the manner in which a person studies a subject when prompted by understanding alone, that is, because he is a man of intellect, and such a man by nature wants to understand, with the manner in which a person studies a subject either because he wants to master its reasoning or because he derives pleasure from his study. In the latter two cases, in addition to the fact that his very comprehension of the subject will be on a higher level, deeper and richer intellectually, his whole grasp of the subject will be intensely animated. This results from the revelation of Ratzon and Einig, which are powers of Makif in Seichel, which is a power of Pnimi. There are specified ways in which a light or power which is Makiv can become revealed in a light or power which is Pnimi. This, however, demands a certain preparation on the part of that which is Pnimi, to enable it to absorb the light which is Makiv. Without such preparation, not only will the light which is Makif not enhance and invigorate its Pnimi counterpart, but it will crush and destroy it. The above explanation will enable us to understand why, when speaking of the revelation of an Makif, the expression used in Chassidus is, the Makif strikes the Pnimi. The use of the term strikes is surprising. If we are speaking of a revelation of light, one would have expected to hear that the Makif is revealed in the Pnimi, or that it illuminates the Pnimi. The reason for the use of the term strikes is that in Makif there is no middle path, for it is an extremely intense light. Since it knows no middle path, revelation and illumination are not appropriate to it. Indeed, in this subsists the difference between Makif and Pnimi. With the latter, the terms revelation, hiskailus, and illumination, ha'ara, are in place. The Pnimi becomes revealed in a revelation of light and illuminates, unlike Makif, which has no such middle path. Makif affects its recipient in one of two ways. If it has a prepared place, encountering the proper preparation of the Pnimi, which is to receive it, then it utilizes to the highest extent possible. This means that whereas the Pnimi was previously unable to reach a practical level, with the powerful influence of the Makif, it is now enabled to attain it. If, however, the proper preparation of the Pnimi is lacking, then the Makif shatters the Pnimi. This then explains the use of the expression, the Makif strikes the Pnimi. For the only manner in which Makif operates is striking with force. This can sometimes give rise to the attainment of the loftiest levels. Sometimes it can lead downward, God forbid, to the lowest depths. The discussion so far has been about Makif in general terms. As far as the ordered explanation of its details is concerned, I am certain that those who study Chassidus are well acquainted with this subject, especially as regards to the details of its analogy in the faculties of the soul. Regarding Seichel Amidus, which are powers of Pnimi, and regarding Ratzin and Einig, which are powers of Makif. Even though all this is Torah, and the main consideration is the comprehension of Chassidus, is that each concept should be articulated clearly, and this includes a repeated discussion of even the most familiar concepts in Chassidus, for the very speaking of them invigorates. Nevertheless, now is not the appropriate time for lengthy explanations in general, and of familiar concepts in particular. Everyone knows from their tangible experience that when Ratzin strikes the Seichel, the latter becomes elevated to the degree which stands in no relation to its potential in its own right. The same is the case when Einig, pleasure, is revealed. If, however, the Ratzin is not internalized in a manner of Pnimi, but remains as Ratzin, then it destroys, God forbid, all the faculties which are Pnimi. In bygone days, a person whose Aveda remained at the level of Makif used to be called a Chitzin. In the eyes of the Tmimim, the kind of character thus described was despised and out of bounds. There were a number of quite fine students who toiled earnestly in their Talmudic studies, spent their time conscientiously in the study of Chassidus, comprehended their studies, each according to his abilities, and prayed with commendable warmth. But all this was experienced in an outward manner, in a manner of Chitzenius. Chitzenius is related to that which is Makif. Whatever is Makif is not only outward or external. This characteristic indeed represents the advantage of that which is Makif over its Pnimi equivalent. For the latter, in other words, Pnimi is received within a vessel which is impossible for a light or power which is Makif. But when we say as above that Chitzenius is related to that which is Makif, This is not meant, so to speak, in a complimentary way. For it is easier to err with regard to something makif than to its pnimi counterpart. A person who is characterized by chitzenius lives in delusion. He deludes himself. One who is a pnimi does not live in delusion. He knows where he stands and what the particular concept before him means, and is preoccupied with making himself more of a vessel that will be able to absorb the things which occupy him. A chitzan, by contrast, is deluded both as regard himself and as regard to whatever concept confronts him. His errors can take one of several forms, sometimes veering too much in the direction of ascent, and sometimes too much in the direction of descent. This may be readily observed. There are times when he describes a thing in glowing terms that are well beyond its justifiable proportions, and there are times when he disparages a thing more than is warranted. For a chitzin in general is one who exaggerates. It is not that the exaggeration stems from falsehood. It comes from the fact that he is a person who lives in delusion. He fools himself. He grasps concepts superficially, without the inward dimension of primius, and just as he absorbs, so he exudes. A chitzain studies nigla, the revealed level of the Torah. He studies chassidus. Quite often in the course of his prayer, he meditates on the chassidus he has been studying, and all of this is done with warmth. Indeed, there are such whose warmth may be perceived more than that of a pnimi. A pnimi needs time. He cannot hurry. First he studies, then he meditates on the concept he has been studying. He absorbs it inwardly, until eventually he is warmed by it, and is aroused by it, and this all takes time. A chitzain, with his spiritual situation characterized by the forces of makif, does not need so much time. When he has studied his fill, he thinks that he knows his subject. He is so deluded within himself that he truthfully thinks, with the outward truth of his chitzainius, that he has mastered it. Moreover, he is already warm, but his warmth is the outward warmth of chitzainius. Whatever a chitzain studies, be it nigla or chassidus, as soon as he has finished studying and has not yet even time to thoroughly digest his subject, he already begins to expound upon it, propounding opinions and arguments, and can even insist on the validity of his own interpretation. With him, every item of spiritual knowledge and comprehension is inextricably encrusted with coarseness of spirit. To borrow the expression of Likutei Torah, his spirituality is coarse. Accordingly, when he proposes a learned argument, he insists on its validity. In the study of Chassidus, which is the pnimius, the inner dimensions of the Torah, his failing of belonging only to chitzenius and makif is even more apparent. When a chitzain studies Chassidus, it may well be said of him, just as he absorbs, so he exudes. Moreover, a chitzain can even be an oivid, but in this too he is deluded. A pnimi knows that aveda demands time. It takes a great deal of toil indeed until one transforms a midah, a character trait. And even when one has already brought oneself to the point of doing so, one still needs to check oneself critically lest the unwanted trait awakens again. A chitzain, however, is not involved with the level of aveda of pnimius, with carrying through a task to its very end, as one should. With him, everything remains at the level of chitzainius and makif. His innate character traits therefore remain as they were. On Yud Beis Tammuz, I told you that a little note is extant, which records the questions that my great-grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek, once posed to his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe Ayichidus. The note appears to date from the years Tavkuf Samach He to Tavkuf Samach Ches, 1805 to 1808. One of the questions asked, what is the ultimate point of Chassidus? And the Alter Rebbe replied, the entire point of Chassidus is that one should transform the nature of his character traits. It should be noted that my great-grandfather's question was, what is the ultimate point of Chassidus? And not, what is Chassidus? My great-grandfather knew what Chassidus is, a divine level of wisdom, the inner dimension of the Torah. His question was, what is the ultimate point of Chassidus? And it was to this question that the Alter Rebbe answered that the entire point of Chassidus is that one should transform the nature of his midos. In the written Torah, we count letters. Each letter expresses divine light in its very essence. In a dictum of the Alter Rebbe, we should count letters. And the Alter Rebbe said that the entire point of Chassidus is that one should transform the nature of his midos. Now everyone understands with absolute clarity the difference between his natural midos and the nature of his midos. That much requires no explanation. What Chassidus demands is that one should transform the nature of one's midos. Chassidus demands of everyone who studies his teachings that he should transform the nature of his midos. For Chassidus is not only a schoolmaster who teaches one how to transform the nature of his midos. It is clear to everyone that the Alter Rebbe's reply reaches up to the loftiest heights of Chassidus. That is to say, his reply describes the uppermost extreme of Chassidus. In every Ur Yashar, whose direction is from below upward, the lowermost extreme is the beginning, and the uppermost extreme is its true consummation. The Alter Rebbe's answer, then, as to what constitutes the ultimate point of Chassidus, is a description of the uppermost extreme of Chassidus. And the uppermost extreme of Chassidus, the ultimate purpose of Chassidus, is that one should transform the nature of one's midos. All the richest sequences of concepts in the teachings of Chassidus, the most broadly based comprehension of the ideas of Chassidus, the profoundest depth plumbed by the teachings of Chassidus, that encompass all of the three faculties, Chachma, Bina, and Das of the divine soul, which is truly a part of Hashem above, the intention of all this is that a person should transform the nature of his midos. Turn it over and over, for everything is in it. In this above quoted dictum of the Alter Rebbe lies the entire point of Chassidus. Chassidus opens one's eyes and shows one the truth in everything. Chassidus explains that in the phrase chet v'avon, usually translated sin and iniquity, chet implies a lack, and avon derives from the noun ivus, meaning distortion. A reminder, one must not forget for a moment that if a person is lacking in the self-refinement labor of practical Aveda, then the entire point of Chassidus is missing. As for those who study Chassidus and occupy themselves with comprehending it, but without being brought by their study to practical Aveda, this is an indication that their study of Chassidus has become distorted and has veered away from its proper path. For the entire point of Chassidus is that one should transform the nature of his midos. And this can be accomplished only through inward Aveda day by day, working on all of the three garments, in other words, means of expression of the soul, thought, word, and deed.